This will be with us minds, be directed to you, we pray in your name. Amen. Let's go to the first. We didn't have a lot of preparation for this. Can y'all read that okay? You see, this is from Romans chapter 5. You see, at just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I've even got some more verses I'm going to add in here, but you know, I've got a couple of preachers and a very experienced lay speaker and perhaps some other of you that can speak in church. You know that you could probably go 6 months with this one verse of Scripture and never finish it all. But to keep on, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more will we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies, maybe I'll pause there. If we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more will we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The thing I want to look at in the second 70 years is not maybe not your second 70, but my second 70. See, I'll finish, we'll nearly finish one, then I'll have another 70 in front of me. I'll look at it and I'll try to think about some of the things that I think are very real and I want to carry with me. It's been several years since I preached at this church, and my first thought was to tell y'all everything I'd learned since I preached here, but I better go with something I might remember. I know, you got me, didn't you? And yeah, I know, I'm getting kibitzing over here, and I'm sorry. I'm going to share with you several things that I believe will hold me. They've been with me for 70 years now, and I expect for the next 70. You know, I really like you people. I like coming to church here. And we used to sit over there some years ago. 25 years ago or so we first started coming here, and then I was thinking of several things that will want to hold me through. So the next statement, show me the next slide there. Faith, finally, is trust. Can I get an amen on that, Bill? Faith, finally, is trust that someone else is better prepared for what lies ahead. Now, if you could learn that young, and I did, if you could learn that young, it can save you a lot of trouble over the years. Faith finally is trust that someone else is better prepared for what lies ahead. And this is, we gather, we come in the faith. We come in the faith of Jesus Christ. We have our cross here. We have a cross back here. And turn around, look, I can actually see a cross over here. And so we kind of keep the cross before us. Somebody came by and gave me a hug this morning. It had the most beautiful, I don't even know who it was, but it had a beautiful, beautiful cross. We put the cross. The cross is not something that we put on the outside. It's something we want on the inside. I want it there. I want you to have it there also. And the second thing I want to share with you is, if you'll give me the next slide. No, that's the wrong one. It should say the joys of Christianity. Is that one not on there? That's not on there. Okay, I'll read it off here. The joys of Christianity are serendipity. Now, I didn't know when I started preaching what a serendip was or serendipity was, but it's simply this. If you start out looking for one thing and you find something else, that is, y'all have heard this before, haven't you? The joys of Christianity are a serendipity. You start out looking for one thing and you find something else. And all the joys of Christianity are serendipity. I'll give you an example. Someone went to Jesus Christ and said, "What'll I do?" Jesus said, "Whoever will find his life will lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it." See, this is the reverse ethic of Christianity. This is why we don't fit in today's society very, very well. Those of us who gather here know that we lose our life by giving it to Christ, and Christ gives us life. It's different. You lose in order to gain. If that didn't make any sense to you, look at the cross of Jesus Christ. He gave up. He gave up in order that we might gain. I believe also, I don't have a slide for this one, that my calling to preach is still very real. When I was a teenager, if you knew my story, when I was a teenager, I was literally put into bed. I think I was 14 years old. I was literally put into bed and could not move, could not get up, had no hope of getting up. And Jesus Christ became my Savior. And I prayed that day, "Lord, this life isn't much." It really wasn't. I said, "This life isn't much. If you can have it, if you take it, you can have it." And so I was a long time standing in spite of that illness, in spite of the fact that it may be why I'm using that walker today, I don't know. But later on in life, much later on in life, I was down again with my back. And he got me up again. And anytime he wants me to preach, I will be happy to do so. Now let's get to this one, because this is important. You see, as I studied the Bible, and I have studied the Bible for a long time, if I study the Bible, I find there is one place where Jesus talked about our behavior, how we are to act toward other people. You've seen it. You've read it many, many times. When you're sick, when you're in prison, when you're hungry, when you're naked, when you're all these things, that's the people we are to respond to and help. And if you study the life of Jesus closely, you will see that's who he dealt with. And he went in and ate with sinners. I don't know whether y'all realize this, but every time we sit down to eat, Jesus is there with us, because Jesus did come to sit and eat with sinners. So we qualify. We get in there. Somebody had did y'all do an epiphany service? So I try to keep up with what y'all are doing and some other churches. But epiphany, of course, is the time, it's the 12th day of Christmas. We can remember that. And you had your beautiful flower, your beautiful tree out there, Chrismon tree. And most of the churches I ever pastored, and this goes back to 1959, most of the churches had chrismon trees. Now, I didn't know what that was when we started, but when I discovered it later, we found it, and it was very, very nice that everything on there was a representative somehow of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Got in a little trouble one time in one of my churches because they decided they had to put a snake in there. And I didn't care much for the snake. So when I got ready to leave in the roast they gave me when I left, they gave me a snake. Well, and I still have it. They also gave me a thermostat. They said, when you get to your new church, don't worry about their thermostat, because I was always changing theirs. He said, you don't go over and mess with theirs. Here's one of your own you can play with all the time. But that was, you see, I think a lot of people are concerned about the fact that Jesus will come again. And I believe that. I believe that. You believe that. We don't know when. We don't know when. And I've heard other people, and you have too, if you've been around as long as I have. Well, none of y'all been around as long as I have. But you know, you get people to see people on TV and they'll tell you when Jesus is coming. And I said, well, that's good. That's not bad. I'm not knocking that. But Christianity is the interim ethic, the way we're to live till Jesus comes again. That's my life, your life. That means taking care of the sick, the ones in prison. I've done a little prison ministry, and I'm going to tell you something. They're very lonely people. They're supposed to be. You know, we lock them out to keep us from getting in trouble, but we put them in there in prison, but they're very lonely in there. They will believe strange, strange things. Well, even at the time that Paul is writing this to the Romans, you could be put in jail just for being a Christian. Now, to be put in jail for being a Christian. And I often wonder sometimes if you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to support that charge? But that's I kind of veered off from there from what I was going to say. Christianity is the interim ethic, the way in which we're to live to take care of the sick, the prison, the hungry. And y'all, I know y'all do a good job of the hungry. I know y'all work on that. And I see that quite often when I'm here. And you come to the people who are naked, or what that really means is saying without clothes. And how far would you have to go from here? If you left here, how far would you have to go to find somebody that did not have enough clothing for this weather? Not far. Are you answering the way I told you to? Okay. Not far. There are people out there who need help, and here we are, and we can help. Maybe rather than focusing about when he's coming, maybe we should be focused on what we have tasked to do. I didn't ask Pam to sing this today, but the hymn ran through my mind. O Zion, haste, thy mission how fulfilling. To tell to all the world that God is light. I'm back to the beginning of my scripture, aren't I? to tell to all the world that God is like, that he who made all nations is not willing one soul should perish, lost in shades of night. Publish glad tidings, tidings of peace, tidings of Jesus, redemption, and release. Now, one more thing I want to share with you, if you can put that last slide, if I got it in there too. See, I thought I fixed all this up, but it's been a long time. Do you have one more slide? No more slides. There it is. When you have nothing to say in prayer, when you reach that point in life when you say, I can't say anything, I have not been blessed. She's got blessed right there on the altar there. When you have not been blessed, when you have not felt blessed by God, what can you say to God? And there it is. I had it written out, and you remember it. You can always say, thank you. Thank you. That's what we can always say, even when we have nothing to say. I want to close by something Brooks and Dunn put it on the radio about 25 years ago, and it's never left my mind. And I wonder why somebody didn't think of this 2,000 years ago. But the guy tells a story. He said, old man Wrigley lived in that White House down the street where I live. And Mama used to send me over with things. We struck a friendship up. I spent a few long summers, out on his old porch swing. Said he was in the war when he was in the Navy. He lost his wife. Lost his baby. So I broke down one and asked him one time, how you keep from going crazy? He said, I'll see my wife and my son in just a little while. I asked him what he meant. He looked at me and he smiled. And he said, I'll raise my hands. I'll bow my head. I'm finding more and more truth in the words that are written in red. They tell me that there's more to life than just what I can see. Oh, I believe. I believe. I think that was even the title of the song. I don't know. So a few years later, I was off in college talking to my mom on the phone one night, getting all caught up on the gossip of the ins and outs of that small town life. She said, oh, by the way, old man Wrigley has died. Later that night, I lay here thinking back about a couple of those long, hot summers. I didn't know whether to cry or laugh. Or if there was anybody deserved a trip to the other side, it'd be that sweet old man who looked me in the eye and said, I'll raise my hands. I bow my head, I find more and more truth in the words written in red. They tell me that there's more to life than what I can see. Oh, I believe. I can't quote the book, the chapter, or the verse. But you can't tell me that it all ends in a slow ride in a hearse. You know, I'm more and more convinced the longer that I live. Yeah, this can't be. This can't be. This can't be all there is. I believe. I guess that's my challenge today. What do you believe? We could turn this over because we got, what I say, 2:30 on this sermon. So we could pass this over and you could take over and you tell me what you believe. What do you believe? I hope you remember that Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This, I believe. Let us pray. Righteous, dear Father, as we gather here, and we thank you Lord, as we pause and say thank you for blessings far beyond anything that we deserve, help us to believe and live strongly with you. This we pray in your holy name. Amen.